Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Father, we live in a world that is so busy. There is so much going on, Lord, and I thank you, God, that you've given us airplanes and computers and all the things that make our lives easier in some way. But Lord, it seems in other ways it makes us only get even busier. And Lord, truly, as we look at your word today and as we really focus in on really what is important, really what is essential, really what is needed, Lord, it is so easy to take the most important thing and put it in the last position, if anywhere at all. And yet, Lord, you tell us in your word that there's truly only one thing needful, and that is, Lord, to sit at your feet. That is, Lord, to know you. And I just pray that, Lord, as we get into your word now this morning, I ask that you would minister to our hearts. Lord, we have chosen today, those that have gathered here, Lord, we have chosen to sit at your feet this morning to do just that, to hear what you have to say. And I ask that you would open up our ears. Let us be attentive. Let all these things that are cluttering our minds, even as Martha was battling with, let them fade away now, Lord, that we might hear your voice this morning. And we ask you to minister to us, Lord, and teach us by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, it is amazing how busy and how hectic our lives really are. I don't think I have to tell any of you guys that. Just try to make plans to do something. Hey, let's get together. Yeah, like when? I mean, you know what it's like. It's incredibly hectic. It's incredibly busy. And I want to say especially how appropriate it is for moms on Mother's Day. You know, again, not necessarily a Mother's Day message, but again, probably some of the busiest people in the world are moms. It always amuses me to hear people say, so, when they talk to moms or they fill out these forms and they say, "So what do you do?" "Well, I'm a housewife." "Oh, you don't work, right?" Wait, listen, let me tell you something. Being a house dad, on occasional times when the housewife is gone, they work more than most men do. And I want to say it is definitely a needed place. And as we said earlier, a place of honor, a place of busyness. But even as moms, I think, can sometimes be too busy. All of us can sometimes be too busy. And that is really what the focus on today's word is about. Now, let me give this a balance. I'm not saying that we should not be diligent. I believe we are to be diligent, that we are to be industrious. The Bible says, "Observe the ant, you sluggard." Notice how they work, how they, you know, do these things. So we are to be, you know, as busy as an ant. We talk about busy as a bee. Well, both busy as an ant as well. And so the bottom line is we are to be diligent. The Bible very clearly says that slothfulness is something that is not of what the Lord approves of. However, guys, we can get so busy and going so much that oftentimes we miss what it is that we're really supposed to be focusing on. There is one main focus that we're to be looking at, the Bible teaches us as believers, and that is this: Jesus Christ and Him alone. Focusing on Him, spending time with Him. That is the number one thing. Christian, hear this. Here's the number one thing you're called to do right now. This is it. All your priority list, all your to-do list. The number one thing you're called to do is each day, note that, each day, Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." How often? Daily. Guys, not works, not pressure, not sheep beating. No, encouragement. Each day, the main focus of our day, the most important thing of the day is what? Time with the Lord. And yet, because of our busy schedules, what is oftentimes the last thing of our day, if any? Time with the Lord. That's really what the focus is today. That is exactly what the Lord is going to be teaching Martha. Mary has this down. Martha doesn't have it down yet, and maybe there are a lot of Marthas in here. And so I think that as God's word begins to speak to us, let it sink into your heart and realize that among all the things out there that need to be done, and there are legitimate needs. It's not that we don't take care of the legitimate things, but if the legitimate things begin to push out the most legitimate thing, we're out of balance. And that's where the Lord would say, now it's time to rearrange the schedule. Now it's time to rearrange your life. Now it's time to rearrange all types of things. And we'll talk about more of that as we get into it. Notice what happens here in verse 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Now notice they came to a village. Remember, Jesus traveled in quite the entourage. As a matter of fact, we had seen the scene before this. He sent out the 70. So were all 70 with him at this time? I don't know. We don't know how many were with him, but I can say this. He had a good little crowd following him around. And so he goes to this village with this large crowd. We know the village from other places in Scripture is Bethany, because the Bible tells us that's where Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived. There were brothers and sisters, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. They lived there in Bethany. And the Lord had this special relationship. We see this relationship throughout the Scriptures, where the Lord, you know, even as they sent to the Lord the message that Lazarus had died, before the Lord raised him from the dead, he said, Lord, the one whom you love has died. This was an outside observer. It wasn't like John who said, you know, I'm the one who the Lord loves. You know, John was like, I'm the one the Lord loves. No, this was somebody on the outside saying, Lord, the one that you love has died. And so there was this intimacy with this family. And whenever the Lord would travel to Jerusalem for the feast, which they went to several times a year, there's every indication that at least we know part of the time, and maybe all of the time, he stayed there with this family. They were very close, very special relationship. And so they come to the house again, and there's this huge entourage. And notice here it says that Martha welcomed him. Now, again, Martha seems to be, of the two sisters, the outgoing one. Now, you know, if you're a sister, or if you're a brother, or if you're in a family that has more than one sister or brother, typically you have one that's outgoing, one that's kind of maybe reserved. You have all these different personalities. As we look at Martha and Mary, it seems that Martha was kind of the outgoing. She was kind of the one that was there. You know, when Jesus came for Lazarus, who was the first one to run when they got there? Martha or Mary? Mary stayed in the house. Martha took off running. Lord! She was always kind of the out there. And now we see Jesus with his entourage coming, and she welcomes him in the home. I kind of see Martha as kind of the social director of the home, kind of the one that made sure things got done. She was the can-do gal. She was making sure that the schedules were in order, all the meals were set up in the proper place, everything. This is Martha. So get this image here of Martha, kind of the outgoing or the socially aggressive. And again, it's interesting. Her name even means lady or mistress. So kind of the lady of the home or the mistress of the home, kind of the one that was kind of leading it. It says again, it even refers to it here as being Martha's home. Now, whether it was her home only and Mary just lived there as well, or whether or not it was really just the terminology that's used, we don't know. But now we see Mary, this woman who is very, very busy, very, very industrious, making sure that she's not only taking care of her home, but that her home is in good order. And now she's inviting guests in. So we see this kind of scene being set up here. You can imagine some of the tension, ladies, that would be building as this thing is going on. And notice it says in verse 39, and her sister, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, Mary, Martha's sister, again, she appears to be the one that maybe was a little bit less outgoing, maybe a little bit less social, not saying she wasn't. There's not enough, I think, scriptural evidence to prove anything either way. But again, the same story when Lazarus died and Jesus came. You know, Martha's the one that ran out there. Mary stayed at home. She waited until the Lord called for her. Now we see this scene where the Lord's coming with all of his disciples, and there's all this hustle and bustle around the house. Everything's trying to get done. Martha's the one getting all the things done. There's Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, paying attention to the Lord and listening. And also, again, not that she didn't serve and that she didn't help, and we'll see a greater indication of that in a moment. But the bottom line is, I think she was probably a little bit more reserved. But notice this about Mary, and I want to focus, we're going to talk a little bit about both of them. But if you note this, those of you who take note or keep note, each time you see this Mary, that is Martha's sister in the Scripture, there's only three times she's mentioned in Scripture. And every time you see Mary, guess where she is? At Jesus' feet. Every time. Right here in this scene, she's at Jesus' feet. We see that when the Lord comes and Lazarus died, Mary runs, and the first thing she does is fall at his feet. Remember the feast they were having, and Mary came and anointed his feet with ointment. Yes, Mary was always at his feet. And guys, let me say this. I think Mary has the proper priorities. You see, it's not that Mary didn't take care of other issues and other things, which we'll see in just a minute. I believe even the language here indicates, even in this scene. But what it's saying is that Mary had the proper priorities. She had the proper balance. She realized, if I'm going to get anything done, I need to be spending time at Jesus' feet. You know, it's interesting. John Wesley, one of the busiest pastors in recorded history, how many miles he rode on his horse, I forget the exact number, but this man was always on the go, always serving, always ministering around the clock. And he's recorded as saying one time, I have so much to do today, I must spend several hours in prayer or I'll never get it all done. You see, he understood that by spending time with the Lord, God blesses all the other efforts. And guys, I found that to be true. Sometimes I think, oh, it's just too busy today. Got to go, go, go. And I know got to go, go, go. I understand that. We all have that. But guys, the bottom line is that oftentimes, if we will just, matter of fact, every time I've found, if I will take the time and set aside the time, God blesses all those errands that have to be taken care of, all of the busy work, and I get more done than I thought I would by spending time with the Lord than if I didn't. I think God just gives a supernatural blessing there. Honestly, I do. That's been my personal experience. And I think he says, you know what? You're going to honor me. I'm going to honor you. You're going to get more done than you ever dreamed or imagined. And it's going to be blessed. And you're going to be filled with me through the day. It's going to be joyous rather than agitated and frustrated. So again, it's basic lessons that the Lord teaches us. But it's hard for us to grasp it. And I want to say this. Here's why it's hard. It goes against our normal mindset, does it not? It's reverse of what we think. Here's what we think. I've only got this much time. I've got this much to do. I better get going. Don't have time for the word and prayer. You see, God does things in the spiritual realm that are not logical in the natural. And so he does the reverse. I think the same thing is true with us in tithing, isn't it? You guys remember when you first came to the Lord that it was hard to learn. Because the mindset is, I've only got this much money. I've got this many bills. And so I can't do that. And then what does God do? You know what he does. You decided to do it. And what did you find out? God is faithful. And God not only took care of your needs, he ended up blessing you beyond that. There are spiritual principles, guys, that go into play that we don't learn as Christians until we step out and do them. Prayer is one of them. Being in the Word of God is one of them. No matter how busy we are, it's setting aside that time to do it that God says, you know what? I'm going to bless you simply because you did what I asked you to do. And it's interesting. Again, Mary at his feet, you know, it tells us a lot about somebody where they spend their time. Mary, this tells us a lot about Mary. She loved his word. Why? Well, we see her here at his feet, listening to his word. That's the one time we see it. We see that she loved worship. How do we know that? Because anointing his feet, guys, that was an act of worship to the Lord. So we see Mary spending time in worship. What was the other time? We see Mary falling at his feet in hardship. She realized that when times were hard, the place she needed to collapse was at the feet of Jesus. See, Mary had a well-rounded spiritual life from what we see here. Now, Martha was not quite is blessed on that, but it does tell us a lot about Mary, and it does tell us a lot about ourselves. Because I think, in all honesty, again, not to beat ourselves up, but in all honesty, to examine ourselves and say, Lord, where am I spending my time? And Lord, what are my priorities? And Lord, how much time do I really spend at your feet? Now, you can beat yourself up real bad on that one. I can make y'all feel guilty. Ready? Everybody ready to feel guilty? You want to leave just down? It bummers down Sunday. Oh, man. And Mother's Day. I want to feel good, you know? You don't pray enough. I can make you feel bad, can't I? Because we all could think that. So understand, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I could say, Mark, you don't pray enough. Lord, you're right. Mark, you don't run the word. You're right, Lord. Mark, you're not serving it. You're right, Lord. All these things are true. And I could just go, oh, I'm so bad. No, the Lord doesn't teach us this so that we walk around with our head moping. He knows we're made of dust. I go to that scripture a lot. I say, Lord, remember, I'm a dust speck. David said, Lord, remember that I'm only dust. I remember hearing one pastor say, you know, yes, but I'm anointed. So you're greasy dust. You know, you're still only dust, whether you're a pastor, whether you're not a pastor. The point is this, I don't want to make you feel bad by saying that we need to be doing that more. My point is, and the Lord wasn't trying to make Martha feel bad in this scene, in this setting. He was trying to get her attention and say, you know, Martha, look, you need to get your focus. I know all of us need to grow. All of us need to mature. All of us need to work on our priorities. But that's what this word is an encouragement for, so that we can see ourselves honestly and say, Lord, where do I need to work? And that's where the challenge is today. Lord, where do I need to work? And where do my priorities need to be? It's interesting about Mary. It says here she sat at his feet listening. It means it's in the imperfect tense, which means this. She did this as a habit and as a lifestyle. It wasn't something Mary just did on an occasional moment. Mary did this as a regular lifestyle. Her regular life was to spend time at Jesus' feet, not just at service times. It was her life. As a matter of fact, we see her here doing it in her home. She made it her life, not her religion. I think a lot of times that's the thing. We try to make it a religion, something that we do at a certain time. The Lord said, you need to know that I'm there all the time. Do you know you never come into the presence of the Lord as a believer? You're always in the presence of the Lord as a believer. Always. What's my point? Guys, here's my point. Listen, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you are in the presence of the Lord. Now, that can either be an exciting thing or a scary thing. It's an exciting thing when you realize that you're never alone from the Lord. It can be a scary thing if you think, well, I'm glad I'm not in church doing this. It's not a place you come to and suddenly you get into the presence of the Lord. Certainly we feel his presence more times than others, but guys, we're always in his presence. Every believer, every moment of the day, we're always there. It's just part of how it works and how the Lord works things. You know, the Bible says, again, about Mary making the Lord her life. It says in Acts 17, in him we move, we live and move and we have our being. It means everywhere he's a part of your life. His presence is everywhere, at your home, at the workplace. No matter what you're doing, the Lord is there and his presence is with you because that's a part of who we are and a part of who he is. We're just one together in Christ. Now, I said that Mary was also not just the one that was spending time in the word and prayer. She was also a part of taking care of the work, if you will, at the house. Mary had proper balance. How do we know that? Well, notice it says that Mary was also at Jesus' feet. That indicates that she wasn't always at his feet the whole time he was there, but she was also at his feet. What does that indicate? Well, more than likely, Mary was helping with all the other preparations as well. Mary's out there helping Martha. It appears that both of them had been serving, but at some point, Mary slipped away. You know, they're getting things ready. They're doing all the busy stuff. There are big crowds there, all the excitement, all that. And all of a sudden, Mary goes, you know what? I just want to spend some time with Jesus. And she doesn't announce it. Excuse me, I'm going to spend time with Jesus. She just kind of slips out and she goes to spend time with Jesus. And I don't know when Martha figured it out. But, you know, Martha probably finally, when she gets here agitated, turns around and realizes Mary's not here. And again, we're going to see that Martha kind of gets a little bit upset about it. But again, we need to realize that, you know, guys, it's not just time in the Word that we're to do. We're also to be diligent. And so that's the balance here. Do we do service for the Lord? Yes. Are we to be diligent with our time for the Lord? Yes. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we're setting aside the time to be with the Lord. And sometimes it might mean right in the middle of something very important, you slip off and spend some time with the Lord. Lunchtime, that can always be a good time. Imagine middle of the day, boss gives you an hour, grab you a sandwich or something, go sit in the park and just spend some time in the Word, spend some time in prayer. What a great way just to build your day up. What a great way to get wisdom and get refocused in the middle of the day. So we see Mary kind of slipping off here from the Lord. Notice what it says in verse, or rather slipping off to the Lord. And notice what it says in verse 40. It says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now, notice Martha was distracted with much serving. Guys, take note of this. Being too busy distracts us from the things that are truly important in our life. Again, there's nothing wrong in being busy. But notice this, too busy. The language here, the word means Martha was overly busy. That's what it literally means. She was overextended in her commitments. She were overextended in what she was doing so that now she was not able to do the most important things that she should be doing. And again, the basic warning there, she was very, because of this, it brought distraction. And it's interesting to me, the word distracted here is in the passive, which means that the busyness and the distractions were controlling her. She wasn't controlling them. Here's my point. Ever feel like somebody else is yanking your day around rather than you? That is exactly where Martha was. Her day was being yanked around every direction. She wasn't in control. It was controlling her. But again, we need to note that it wasn't anybody's fault but her own. We're going to see the Lord corrects her and says, you've allowed yourself to be too distracted. You've allowed too many things to come in. And now not only are you miserable, you can't spend any time with me. It's a double whammy, I think, that the enemy loves to do. And so again, distracted here. It's interesting. It's in the imperfect, which means she was regularly distracted. What a contrast. Now here's Mary, regularly spending time at the feet of the Lord. Here's Martha regularly being so busy she can't. What a contrast. Now look at their two lives and tell me who's the happiest in this scene. You look at Mary, she seems to be tranquil, enjoying herself, filled with joy. Yes, still busy getting work done. You look at Martha, Martha is frantic. Martha's going crazy. Maybe some of you can associate, not just ladies. Maybe some of you men can associate as well. I bet you can. But amazing contrast here. One's calm, one's collected, the other's hysterical and frustrated. And guys, what is the only difference between the two in this scene? Time at the feet of Jesus. It's the only difference. Time at the feet of Jesus. You know, Martha was too busy serving the Lord to have time for him. Mary kept her priorities in straight. Let me say this, guys. It goes both ways. In ministry, you can be too busy serving, so busy serving, you don't really have a relationship with the Lord. That happens especially to those that serve in full-time ministry. But guys, also in the world, you can just be too busy in just regular busyness, regular busy life to be able to have that time to spend with the Lord. And that, again, is the lesson that the Lord is going to get across here to Martha. You know, she's too busy. Serving is good and it's commanded, but being too busy is out of balance. Now, again, as we said, Mary was serving as well, but we see that Mary now had broken off and taken this time to where she had time with the Lord. She had made sure that she wasn't too busy to get it done and to sit at Jesus' feet. And guys, I want to say this, and I want to say it as gingerly, but as straightforwardly as I can. If you find that your life is too busy to sit at the feet of Jesus, your life is too busy. It's just too busy. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor, my job. You know, I would rather have a different job and have time to sit at the feet of Jesus than to make more money and keep my job. I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm simply saying that if you have a lifestyle that prevents you from walking with the Lord, guys, it's not worth losing your relationship with the Lord and what the Lord has for you. Keep these things in perspective. And I think here's what Martha had lost. Martha had lost this viewpoint. This life down here is temporary. It's passing away. The older I get, the faster it's passing. You can associate with that. Many of you can. The older you get, the faster it goes. It just seems to fly by. Eternity is forever. What you invest in right now, either this life or eternity, is what you're going to be with forever. If you invest everything in this life, all your time, all your job, all your efforts, all your busyness, there is your reward. Enjoy it, because that's it. No more. But if we invest our time in the kingdom, guess what happens? We get there. The Bible says the Lord will say, enter into the joy of your Lord. And the Bible says we will stand before the Lord and he will give us the rewards of serving him in this life. I would much rather have the eternal rewards of the kingdom than the temporary rewards of this world. And so again, that's the whole point that he's driving home here in this whole situation with Martha. But it's interesting here. Notice it says, and she approached him. Guys, literally it means she burst in on. In the language here, it shows an explosiveness. Now get Mary. I mean, Martha, she's in the kitchen. She's busy. Jesus there. How would you like it if God came to your house for dinner? You know, come on, let's get moving. I mean, you can imagine the stress. You can imagine the nerves. You can imagine all the entourage, everything. Now she's got to run out and take care of it. She finally looks up. Mary, grab me that. Mary, I'm doing all this work. And Mary's not, you can see it building. Because the house has to be in order. You know, all these things. And so she's doing all this stuff. She runs out there and it says she burst in on her. I mean, it's like this explosive on the Lord rather. Whoom. And she comes into the room and I don't know what was going on, but if Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet, probably there was the Bible. I mean, it's probably the Lord sharing the word. She's sitting at his feet, probably his entourage, probably all those people, probably a quiet setting. You know, the Lord's sharing things of the kingdom, creation, eternity. And this angry Martha comes running out of the kitchen all stressed out and she stands over him and she says, Lord, you know, and it gives a picture. You can see her there with her hands on her hips. You know, what's going on? There's Mary and she's supposed to be helping me. What's happening? What are you going to just sitting around? Let's do something. And so you've got to get the scene in your mind here of what's going on. I mean, she was extremely uptight here when she comes bursting in. Wiest puts it this way, a Greek scholar. He said, but Martha was going around in circles, overoccupied and bursting in upon Jesus, assumed a stance over him and said, Lord, I command you, tell my sister to help me. In the command form. Notice what she did. Stands over, assumed a stance over him, the language says. And you can, now you've already all got the image in your mind. You've got the picture of what's going on. And she says, tell Mary to help me again. This is like a command. She's extremely uptight. Now, this is pretty bad when you've got the creator of the universe in your house for dinner, who's sharing the truths of the universe, and you go tell him what he needs to be doing. Martha was having a bad day. It's interesting here when it says she was worried and all this kind of stuff. The word really means crabby. I heard one pastor say, he said, I used to wake up crabby every morning. He said, and then I started letting her sleep in. That's bad. I know. But Martha was having a tough time. Now imagine this. Again, here's Martha. Let's get the mindset, guys. Martha is the housekeeper. Martha is the one of the home. She's responsible for this big shindig. She just wants the meal to be nice. She wants the house to be clean. She wants everything to be put in place. After all, it is God coming over for dinner. Not exactly, you know, your unimportant guest. You know, she's just trying to be the best steward. She can't. Wait a minute. Martha Stewart. Yes, Martha. Martha's trying to be the best steward. Okay, she is, though. She is. Follow me on this. She's trying to be the best steward that she can of her home. I'm sorry, but it's true. And again, so while she's doing this, she comes in there and she says, you know what, Lord, you need to get going. You need to get Mary going. You need to get things doing. She's extremely uptight. Now, guys, note this. I want to make a point here. We're having fun. We're being silly. But I want to make a point here. It wasn't the Lord's fault that she was so uptight and that she was so busy. Whose fault was it? Martha's. Martha is the one who had to have the house perfect. Martha's the one who had to have the meal perfect. Martha's the one who had to have everything in her life perfect. Now, I'm not just picking on ladies. I'm speaking of men. This is generic. When I say Martha, I'm saying us as people. We need to be, as I said, diligent. We need to be productive. We need to be industrious. We need to make sure that we have our ducks in a row, so to speak. But guys, my point is this. We don't need to do it at the expense of the things that are most important, and that is the Lord. We need to learn to just relax and enjoy the Lord. Yes, get done what needs to be done, but realize that it's not the Lord's fault that our life is so busy. It's our fault. I mean, let me ask a question. Who was Martha doing this for anyway? The Lord or Martha? It wasn't for the Lord. He didn't seem to have a problem at all. He probably wished Martha was in there sitting at his feet as well. And yet, we see that Martha here, you know, loses it. It's interesting. She says, you know, Lord, I'm serving alone. Note there in the language, she says, she's left me to serve alone. You know, some of the greatest service we can ever do is at the feet of the Lord. It's not just the physical service. It's spending time with Jesus. But again, she didn't have her spiritual glasses on. God wants inspiration a lot more than perspiration. And yes, we need to be about the business of the Lord. But if we're not doing the number one business, and that is spending time at his feet, then it's all useless. It's all wasted. It's all worthless, if you will. So, and it's interesting to me, Mary spent time with the Lord. But now, again, here, in all fairness, Martha did spend some time with the Lord. But what was her time with the Lord like? Grumbling and complaining and telling him everything he wasn't doing right. Guys, when we get too busy and agitated and irritated, and we don't have the time set aside to just simply be quiet at the feet of the Lord, then when we do end up talking to the Lord, what is our conversation usually like? Lord, what's wrong with you? Why'd you let this happen to me? Lord, I thought you loved me. Lord, Lord, Lord. And all this grumpy and grumbling stuff coming out, rather than being able to worship, rather than being able, like Mary, to pour the oil on the feet of the Lord, the fragrance, and to be a blessing to him as well as to get blessed ourselves. It's just really a consequence of not spending time with the Lord. Whereas again, spending time with the Lord, we see Mary here just enjoying the Lord and enjoying him. You know, I want to say this. I want to take up for Martha for just a minute and say this, guys. Martha was no spiritual lightweight. In other words, my point is this. If this can happen to Martha, this can happen to you. Why do I say Martha was no spiritual lightweight? Well, she was the one who told Jesus before the resurrection, Lord, if you'd been here, you could have stopped this. She believed he had the power to stop Lazarus from dying. So she believed in his authority to heal. And then she went on to say, Lord, even if you do something now, I believe you have the power to do something right now. So the point is, you can still do something. You can still take care of this. She was not like some baby Christian who was just kind of out there. Martha had just gotten her priorities out of order. She was one of the few ones who understood and declared that Jesus was the Messiah before the resurrection. Even many of the disciples didn't know that. I think Peter himself was shocked when it came out of his mouth. And then once he did figure it out, he got so prideful, the Lord had to bring him back down. And so Martha was no spiritual lightweight here. I mean, she was going for it. She was very mature. She chose to allow the Lord into her home. That was a death sentence. Maybe not literally, but in the sense of that society, that the Jews had said, if you accept Jesus, then you're rejected in the Jewish society. Martha said, come into my home. So again, we see that she wasn't a lightweight here spiritually. She just had gotten her priorities off balance. I don't know if she was always this way or just had a propensity. But the Lord is now gently steering Martha back in and making sure that she's under control. Notice in verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, can you see his face? Here she's standing over him with an apron on. You know, Martha, Martha. He says, you're worried and troubled about many things. You know, it's interesting, the language here. Worried means pulled in many directions. Troubled means disturbed or disquieted. It's interesting, as I said earlier, Martha invited Jesus into her home, but then was too busy to spend time with him and enjoy him. How many of us have invited Jesus in our heart, but we're too busy? The home of our heart. But we're too busy to enjoy him. We're too busy to have fellowship with him. We're too busy to spend time with him and love him. Again, this was where Martha was. Ever been there? I have. I've been there. Again, I don't say this to beat you up. I say this to maybe as a correctional. If you found yourself in that place, there may be some decisions you need to make today. That's what the Lord was doing here with Martha. The same thing, redirecting her. But I love how gentle he was with her. Notice he didn't fuss at her. He didn't say, you failure. You're not in the word in prayer. Look at you. You're a mess. He didn't say that. He said, Martha, Martha. It's almost like talking to your kids. And for him, it was. He says, Martha, you're worried and troubled up about many things. He gently corrects her. But notice he says, but one thing, I have one underlined. That might be a good thing. Just underline that. If you don't write in your Bible again, you can reach to the person next to you and just write, underline one in their Bible. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Guys, here it is. Grasp this. Among all of our busy schedules and all of our busy lives, there is one thing. Now, God hasn't made it hard, has he? We make it hard. He said there's one thing that's needed. Notice not one thing that's wanted. There's like many things that are wanted. There's many things that are desired, but there's only one thing. Note this word, one thing that is needed. And that is that we spend time at the feet of Jesus. That's all the Lord wants. He wants us to spend time at his feet. If we focus on him, here's what the Bible says. If we focus on the Lord, all the other stuff will take care of itself. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, do what's right first, seeking the Lord first. Everything else will take care of itself. It will all fall in place. Guys, in other words, take care of the vertical. The horizontal will fall into place. Focus on the horizontal, the vertical will get lost, and the horizontal will fall into disarray. That's what the Bible teaches. And if you're experiencing any of that, maybe you're going, that's why. This is why. Well, I thought, well, the Lord does love me. I just never spend time with it. Okay, now I'm starting to get it. Now I see why my life is such a mess. Now I see why everything's yanking me around and I'm not directing things myself, following the Lord. That's the principle here that the Lord is trying to get across with Martha. You see, she was consumed with the physical meal that was about to be served, and Jesus was much more concerned about the spiritual meal that she was currently missing. You know, what you feed is what's going to be strong. If we don't feed our spirit, guys, our spirit's going to be weak. And the Lord knew that if Martha was going to be able to travel on and be used for him in the kingdom in great ways, she would have to learn this. The most important thing, spending time. Isn't it amazing? The Lord says the most important thing is spending time with him. Yet honestly, how many of us could say that that usually gets the last priority of the day? If any. If I have time, I'll get in the word. If I have time, I'll pray. He says that's number one. That should be the main thing above all things. That's it. That's the main focus. If there's one main lesson for us to get out of this passage, it's that. And yet it's so easy for us to let that slip to the back. But next, notice this in this verse, guys. Notice it says, the Lord said, Mary has chosen the good part. Understand this, that the choice to pray is exactly that. The choice to spend time in the Word is exactly that. It is a choice we make. We either choose to allow the busyness to push it out, or we choose to stop the busyness and work it in our schedule. Guys, it's a matter of choice. If we're spending time with the Lord, we've got to choose to spend time. If we're not spending time with the Lord, it's our fault, not his. We can't blame it on too busy of a day. We can't blame it on our job. No, we can always get up earlier. Yes, that takes sacrifice. We can always go at lunch break. But then, yes, I couldn't hang out with my buddy. There's all kinds of things we could do, but it's the choices that we make that are going to really depend on whether or not we follow through. The Lord says, Mary has made the right choice here. She set aside time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And I want to say this. I would almost say emphatically for most humans alive, if you don't choose to set aside time to be with the Lord, you won't. Absolutely won't. And I want to say this. When you set aside time, expect distractions. Because when the enemy sees you doing that, he's going to start trying to, you know, it's amazing to me. You tell you, there's something out. You want to make your phone ring, pick up your Bible. Try it. It's amazing. Say, watch this, kids. Honey, everybody gather around. Watch. We're going to do quiet time. Watch this. Ding, told you. I mean, I'm telling you, it's almost that predictable. So what do? Go somewhere there's not a phone. Turn the cell phone off for 30 minutes. Turn it off. Sit down somewhere. You know, Martha may be a little upset when she gets a hold of you, but she'll be all right. The Lord will deal with her heart. Calm down, Martha. He was in the Word. Relax. That's what I want him to be doing. So again, I'm not saying be negligent and not take care of your job and not take care of your family. I'm saying there's got to be times sometimes that you just have to make a choice. You've got to make the choice or it's not going to happen. So it's up to us, each one, basically to do that. Now notice also that he said that she chose the good part. Again, we see the difference in the physical and the spiritual. Not that the physical's bad. But guys, the best part. If you're going to be out of balance, here would be God's desire. If you're going to be an out of balance, he wants you to be balanced. That is serving and in the Word and taking care of business. But if you're going to be out of balance, better to be on the side of spending too much time in the Word and prayer and getting less done than spending the side on the time getting more done and less in the Word and prayer. And yet, doesn't that just go against us? Doesn't that just go against our mindset? Got to get that to-do list. I'm the same way. I know that. Especially men, that's how we are. We have a list and we do it. You know, tell us what you want and we do it. But notice lastly here what the Lord says, and we'll finish up with this. He says, she's chosen the good part and it will not be taken away from her. Guys, here's my point. If we choose regularly to spend time at Jesus' feet, nobody can ever take it from us. We can only give it away by choice. And that is maybe by accepting that job that takes more time, or maybe by taking on that responsibility that pushes us over the edge, or maybe by whatever it might be, maybe by choosing not to set the alarm an extra 15 minutes or whatever. Whatever the case might be, guys, it's all choices. Every bit of it's choices. And so Lord says, you know what? If you choose to do it with me, I'm not going to take it away. I'll make sure that you have that. I'll make sure that you have that time, and nobody's going to get it from you. And I guess I would just leave us with a few questions. And that is this. The first one is this. Are you too busy for the Lord? You're saved. You gave your life to the Lord. You're serving him. You want to do everything God wants you to do. But are you too busy? Is it just too hectic? Guys, if you're too busy for the Lord, then I challenge you. It's time for a lifestyle change. It may be radical. It may be dramatic. But remember what you're investing in. You either invest in the eternal, which lasts forever, or you invest in the temporary, which is passing away. And guys, it's a choice we have to make. I think it's time to step back and examine our priorities if we're that way. My job won't allow it. My life won't allow it. My schedule won't allow it. It's time to change the schedule. It's time to change the life. It's time maybe to change the job, whatever it takes. I don't think that most people have to change their job. I think it's just a matter of rearranging things. But again, the point is that we've got to work that time in with the Lord. And here's the main point of it all. Guys, if we're going to be good stewards of our time, then we're going to need to make some choices. And sometimes those choices might be tough. Sometimes those choices might be hard. Sometimes those choices might mean that you can't do everything you want to do. But the question is are we here to serve ourselves? Or are we here to serve the Lord? See, Martha was here to serve the Lord. She wanted to serve the Lord. She had just allowed busyness to get into where now she couldn't. And so the Lord, and I love how gentle he is, and I want to say this, the Lord is gentle. Again, if you feel condemned today, that's not the Lord, that's me presenting it wrong. Because the Lord's not here to condemn you. He says, I did not come to condemn, I came to give life, and life more abundant. Amen. You know, the Lord, you know, our kids, maybe our kids have their priorities off, or they're messing up. You know, we don't go out and whack them over the head. We take hold their hand, and we take them for a walk, and say, honey, I got some things I want to talk to you about. You know, you've not been treating your sisters the right way lately, or whatever it might be. The Lord does the same thing with us. I think the Lord would grab your hand today and say, hey, can we talk? I've been wanting to talk a lot more, but you've just been so busy that we can't. But Lord, you don't understand. I don't understand. Well, okay, you understand, but let me go on anyway. Lord, all this and this, and I've got this and this, this, and I've got that and that and that. Where are your eyes? Are they on the temporary or the eternal? We all have busy things we have to do. But make the choices that are necessary to make sure you can do what the most important thing is. Here's the lesson for us today. One thing is needed. One thing. If we do that one thing, everything else will fall into place. If we don't do that one thing, everything else falls out of place. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you, Lord God, that you've shown us your word, God, and made it so simple. Lord, we make life so complicated. And truly, Lord, busyness is a real issue. We have real jobs, real lives, real children, real families, and they all need real time and attention. Lord, we don't doubt that for a moment. We know that's the case. We know it's true. And Lord, we know that you would have us to be diligent, and you would have us, Lord, to do what needs to be done. But Lord, your heart breaks for us just to sit at your feet like Mary did, not just temporarily or at service times, but Lord, to sit at your feet on a regular basis, seeking your face, listening to your voice, giving you worship and praise. And Lord, just loving you because you love us so much. God, I pray for those here today that maybe say, this is me. This message was for me. I am the one that's too busy. Lord, I ask that you would just minister to their hearts today, that they would not feel condemned, that they would not feel beaten up, but they would feel encouraged to make some different choices, to look at their life, to look at their schedule, and to do what's necessary to make sure, Lord, that they, like Mary, might sit sweetly and quietly at your feet on a regular basis, so, Lord, they might know the joy of walking with you. Lord, give us the courage to make the choices, even tough ones, as we set our affections on you and on eternity, not neglecting the temporary, but making sure that our priorities are in order. For truly, Lord, this one thing is needed. In Jesus' name, amen.